Imagine a space for South Asian women where stories are not just told, but actually felt. This is Rue, Rising Over Obstacles and Healing, brought to you by Jyoti and Monica, two friends who set out to carve a little space and make a difference by sharing stories and fostering healing and strength within our community. We invite you to listen and reflect, finding your own path one story at a time. And just for sticking around, there's a golden biscuit at the end of each episode. Hey guys, welcome to Rue. So Monica has been MIA for a while. I'm sure you guys have noticed, and I don't know when she's coming back, but I've decided, you know, for the time being, well, I kind of roped Shireen, and you guys are probably familiar with her. She was in one of the previous episodes. I kind of twisted her arm and brought her on here. So
hi, thank everyone.
Yes, thank you for filling in, Shireen. I really appreciate it. You know what made me think of bringing you on?
What?
Okay. If I'm being very honest,
yeah,
I received so many compliments on your voice.
Oh. Again, I need all of these comments to be directed to my husband.
You know, that's so funny. My husband said the same thing because for some reason, you know, I said to him the other day, I'm like, you know, so many people say I have a really nice voice.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, they need to talk to me. And I'm like, huh? So you're saying I don't have a nice voice? And he's like, that's not what I'm saying. He's like, they don't know what your voice sounds like when you talk to me most of
right.
the time.
That must know? Be it. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's really
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I have to bring Shireen back on because you sound amazing. And, you know, I'm so glad that you agreed. So thank you. And let's get started with our topic for the day. What I was thinking and what I wanted to talk about, it's something that many of us can relate to, but we rarely discuss this openly. And I'm talking about the harmless comments that we receive. You know, the ones like, oh, you've gained a bit of weight, haven't you? Or why aren't you married yet? Or do you plan on having kids? Because you're kind of getting old and you should probably get started.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. You know, those are the comments that we, I think, have all heard at one point or another. And they're made by our elders and sometimes even our peers. And they make them with a smile, you know, without even giving it a second thought. But for a lot of us, they can feel like a verbal slap. They can cut deep and they can reinforce insecurities and leave us wondering, like, what's wrong with me? So we're dedicating this episode to confronting these comments head on. And in the process, we're going to learn how to protect our peace and define our own worth one comment at a time. So I want to know, Shireen, if you have ever received a comment that didn't sit well with you.
Oh, gosh. There's so many comments. I think one thing with our community that we get commented on a lot, especially as women, but also for the men, is our weight when it comes to our appearance.
Yes.
And as someone who has been many different sizes in my life, I think when I first started off when I was much younger and I started off in music videos and modeling that we talked mm-hmm. about before, I was very much heavily obsessed with my weight. And at that point, mm-hmm. it was the early 2000s. So there was a big culture around being super skinny and cardio, and there wasn't, you know, as much conversation around healthy eating and weightlifting. It was more so about dieting. The diet culture mm-hmm. was the big thing. And I was overly obsessed with that to the point where I was doing cardio two times a day. I was counting each almond that I was eating. I was only having a specific type of fish because it was the lowest calorie
leanest,
fish, leanest fish, tilapia. I remember it was tilapia.
Yeah.
Even then, I would get comments of, oh, your tummy's still a bit soft, or,
oh my God,
your arms are, you're so skinny, but your arms are still like wider for some reason. You know, people would make these little nitpicky comments. And as someone in your early 20s who's really focused on your appearance, those comments really stick with you. And I remember when I stopped all of that, I think it was when I had moved to live away from my friends and family. And suddenly I felt like, you know, I didn't have to keep up my appearance as much. I was, and I think everyone goes through this, you know, when they go away for school. I think they call it like the sophomore 15, where you kind of put on a little bit of weight.
Yes, you're not, the sophomore 15. Yeah,
You're not eating as healthy. You're not eating your mom's food anymore. You're eating out. You're not watching what you do. And I had kind of gained some weight while I was living away. And my cousin from Singapore came to visit me, and my sister also came to visit me. And when they saw me with that little bit of weight gain, they were in shock. And those comments right away were, oh my God, Shereen, you know, you've gained so much weight. You're not looking the same as how you used to look.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like, well, when I was skinny, I still didn't feel good internally. And now that I've gained weight and I'm, you know, feeling better about myself, and you're still making comments, and I still don't, like, weight definitely, I think, I don't know if you've encountered.
Oh, many times, because like you, I've been many, many weights. I've been thin, I've been normal, I guess what people call normal. I've been heavy, very heavy. It's like the spectrum, right? And I was on the heavier side. And for whatever reasons, my husband and I chose to put off having kids. However, we couldn't say that because the expectation was have kids as soon as you get married, right? Yeah. That was the mentality back then. Yeah. And we just kind of kept quiet about it. We just didn't say anything because we were afraid that if we say, oh, we're choosing to wait, it was going to be like a barrage of what's wrong with you? What's the matter? Why are you waiting? You know, this is the normal course of life. You got married. Now it's time for kids. We didn't want to deal with any of that. So we kept quiet. As a result, many people thought I could not conceive.
Wow.
Yes.
What an assumption.
Exactly.
To leap to. Yeah.
Exactly. It was like, well, they've been married this many years. There must be an issue.
Right.
They must have some sort of problem conceiving. Right. Mm-hmm. Because people can't fathom that you can choose to wait. Right.
Yeah.
And initially it was like, you know, I'm sure people said things, but never made it out to my husband and I. We never really encountered any comments or anything like that. However, I think once it got to the point where, okay, we'd been married quite a few years now and we didn't have kids, a lady decided to say to me, well, you know, the reason you can't conceive is because you're too heavy. It's your weight. That's why you're not conceiving. And by then, it was sort of a situation where, like, we were just starting to plan and it wasn't happening. And it was right around that time when she made this comment. And
oh, wow.
I took it to heart. And it was like, this is it. This is the reason why, you know, even though unbeknownst to her, we had just kind of started trying.
And things take time. Yeah.
Even if everything's normal, sometimes it can take a year or two, right?
Yeah.
So I went on this journey and I'm like, I got to shed this weight. Like, that's it. I have to lose all this weight. And because I did want a family, I did want to have kids. It was my biggest motivator to lose all the weight. So once I lost all this weight and I'm still not pregnant, the same person goes to me, I know what the issue is. It's because you're too skinny.
Oh, no way. And you could not make that up. Like,
no, no. And I'm just like, okay, I was too fat before and now I'm too skinny and that's why I can't conceive. Okay, got it. You know?
Yeah.
So it's things like that, right? And you know, then you have to learn eventually the heck with what someone is saying, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I think the reason I take issue with making comments about a person's weight or their skin color or how beautiful a person is that you're taking away from how that person is on the inside.
Yeah.
Right? It's like our culture places so much value on the outward appearance of a person. Mm-hmm. And whether it's even a compliment, right? Even if someone's saying, oh my gosh, look at you, you're so beautiful. And we make these comments, little girls are listening. and they're thinking, oh, I have to be beautiful. You almost start associating your worth based on how you look.
Yes.
Right?
Especially as a child, I think those comments are, you know, they're so well-meaning from someone, but they're very harmful because then you associate, oh, okay, I'm a good girl and because I look good and I need to always maintain this and then 100%. People will like me. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I used to hear comments about my mom all the time. Oh, your mom is so beautiful. She's so light and she's so fair. And she is. And she's gorgeous. Right. But then they would look at me and they would either say like, oh, you must be after your dad. And mind you, my dad was a very handsome man. So, you know, that's fine. I do look like my dad and I'm happy. Right. But to the little me, I took that to mean like, oh, I must not be pretty.
Right.
It wasn't until I got older that I realized, well, my dad's a really good looking guy. And if I'm being told I look like my dad, that's a big compliment, right?
Yeah.
But to me, as to a child, when you're saying this, like, oh, your mom is just absolutely beautiful. And then either silence.
Yeah.
And I would take that silence to mean as like, oh, and you're not.
Right.
Or it would be that like, oh, you look like your dad. And I would still take that as like, okay, so because I don't look like my mom, I'm not beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and it messes with you as a child, right? So you, it leads to like self-esteem issues. It leads to you wanting to look a certain way. And all that emphasis goes all on your looks.
Mm-hmm.
And not to developing your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so interesting with weight and with looks because, I mean, just your comment on you were too big before and so you couldn't have kids. Now you're too thin and so you can't have kids. And all of the assumptions behind it. And also just this, you know, people are never satisfied. And that's when you realize that, like, that people will always have a comment to say or something to say.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start to kind of reclaim your own power back because you realize like there's no pleasing everybody. And I think that that realization comes with a lot of growth and maturity and self-confidence that you build up. But I felt that, you know, when I was thin, people had comments. Then when I gained weight, people had comments. And for that cousin who came, she was, you know, saying it in a well-meaning way as well of like, oh, make sure you look after yourself and your health. And it's always gouged in this helpful way. And she did mean well when she said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess people don't really know, you know, you could have been skinny in an unhealthy way. And actually now you've recovered and you're trying to be healthier.
Yeah.
And as for you, you know, they didn't know what you were going through internally.
Exactly.
And they're making these helpful comments, but it's not really very helpful. And I think that saying things in front of a child and really impacts you when you are growing up. And it's hard to unlearn that. It's hard to find that self-confidence. And I wish people said more along someone's personality and, you know, oh, your smile lights up the room or, oh, you're something.
Your energy.
Your energy or, oh, you love, even just questions. So you're reading that book you love reading. That's great, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. There's 100 things you can talk about other than the outward appearance of a person. You know, you can have a conversation that doesn't involve someone's skin color or their weight or their features or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Like you can focus on that person's creativity. Like if it's a creative person, like, oh, what do you like to do for fun? You know, what are your hobbies? And then comment like, oh, I love that you have different hobbies. Or what do you enjoy doing for fun? I mean, there's so many topics you can pick from.
Yeah. I think when it comes to children, I think our generation might be getting better at how to talk to kids because we do put a lot of emphasis on like education and sports and, oh, you know, what does your kid like to do? They're really great at specific things. And we talk less about their appearance. I think I would hope so.
Yes, I think I think you're right. I would hope so too. I was surprised to learn after the episode about Kalarang, the insecurity about the skin color. I had so many people reach out to me and say that their kids experience that.
Wow.
And these are people, you know, living here in North America, I should say.
Yeah.
Since, you know, some of us are Canadian.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, look at that. Monica's Canadian and I found a Canadian to replace her for now.
Token Canadian. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess for most of us, like North American parents that are raising kids in this day and age, to hear that from them, that, even now, like our kids experience this and they come home and they ask, like, am I dark because someone made a comment about my skin color?
Yeah.
For me, I was very shocked to hear that because I was like, wait, there's no way this is still going on. But in some parts, I guess it is.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to shift away from that because, you know, we want to be acknowledged for how we are internally, how our mind works and, you know, our personality and whatnot. So we can work on that as opposed to just the outside appearance, right?
Yeah. And I'd say when it comes to going back very quickly to weight, I think when those comments cease and someone just lets you be, like, I feel like that's when you can kind of almost feel like you're being accepted for who you are and you're not just about your looks. Because I remember when I had gained even more weight at this point and I was feeling really uncomfortable, but I still went to travel and saw more family. And I was thinking in my head, oh, when people see me, they're going to make all these comments. And I was like, you know, really scared, but I was hyping myself up like, okay, I'm going to be okay. They're going to say this, it's fine. And when I met them, actually no one said anything. And then I just felt this like relief of like, okay, I can just be myself and everything's fine. I actually don't have to hide and, you know, my family will accept me. And that feeling of acceptance is like very hard to put into words, but you kind of, it's almost like taking a little deep breath. Like you're like, okay, I can just be myself. I'm safe. That feeling of safety. I think your body needs to feel safe before it can actually kind
work
of
on itself.
Work on itself and make those adjustments. So it was, it was kind of after that when I realized like, okay, people are fine with my appearance. That's when I started like giving myself that like love and care again. And then, you know, ultimately it did translate to me losing weight later, but it's that acceptance. And same thing with skin tone, you know, when people stop making those comments or when you're just not commented on for your appearance, you feel safe amongst who you're with and you feel like you can be yourself.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So I know that you chose a very unconventional career path. Did you get any comments on that? Because that's a big one with South Asians, right?
Yeah. I remember when I was even studying, like people would ask, oh, what are you studying in school? Bachelor of Arts. Oh, arts, you know, why not business? Why not science?
Yeah.
And there is this emphasis on choosing like more traditional path. And it's funny because I was listening to someone on TikTok and she was initially studying to be a doctor and she decided to go into pharmacy school.
Okay.
Yeah. And even that got comments. So it just like sometimes it just to me, I realize like going back to what we were saying before, people not being satisfied, like someone will have a comment to make on anything you do. And I think with this new generation, I feel like this phrase of like, get your bag, you know, get your bag, like make money. There's all these new alternative paths now, whether it's content creation and, you know, being a podcaster or being doing all these different things. And I think the new generation is like more open with alternative career paths.
Yeah.
But for me, people just didn't, even going into social media and things like that, people just didn't understand. They'd be like, so what did you, what do you do?
Yeah. And
Are you sure, you know, maybe you should look for a job in government. That's very stable.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a lot of those comments, like while you're in Toronto, you know, go look for a government job. That might be good.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That's a,
well, that's not what I'm doing, but sure.
Well, hey, if you look at it this way, at least they didn't say, well, you should just be a doctor, lawyer, or an engineer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was, that used to be what parents wanted and that's it. Right.
Yeah.
So I think part of it also is our parents wanted us to be well established. They wanted us to have stable jobs because they came from their home country with having to start over basically here in North America. And for them, this was highly coveted, right? Like having that stability and a career that they knew would make good money, right?
Yeah.
So that was important. But I think now that families have sort of established themselves here, you have a little bit of flexibility to be able to pursue other careers, other avenues, right?
That's true. Yeah. And now it's more just about finding something that you enjoy doing and kind of sticking with that, I think, is what people hope for.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think, you know, parents are definitely realizing that you don't have to necessarily fit into a certain mold, you know. But I think for the sake of this particular topic, I feel that even comments about like, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's almost like, okay, well, your worth is only based on what you do.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's interesting because sometimes like I'll meet someone and I'll have a great conversation with the person. And then like I'll come home and I'll tell an elder, right, that I met this person. This person was really nice. And the first question I get asked is, well, what does that person do? And I just never even think to ask.
Yeah.
To me, it's like getting to know the person. And in North America, it's such a big thing. Like, well, what do you do? Mm-hmm. I play, I sing, I dance, I don't know, whatever, you know, like I jog, you know, but it's not that. It's like, no, no, no. What do you do? Because all those things that you do don't matter as much as like what you do career wise.
And I think the biggest part of that we haven't touched on yet is obviously because of what other people think, but your status when it comes to your marriageability.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Because when you are single and you're looking for someone, a lot of it is, well, what do you do or what do they do? Or, oh, we found someone who is a doctor.
Yeah.
And automatically that's supposed to make them a good person that you're supposed to marry.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Just because they hold this title in society, you don't know anything about that person. You don't know what kind of human being they are.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to kind of jump at this person's so-and-so, you know, they're a lawyer, they're a doctor, they're an engineer.
Yeah.
And
then that's it. Like, I know someone who was married to a doctor and things weren't working out in the marriage and she was kind of wanting to get out, but her family was like, but he's a doctor.
It's like, yeah, you can't let that go.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean you're not happy in the marriage? Like, he's a doctor, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a good person above all, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, people become doctors because they want to be in that profession and they feel a calling to it. But there are a lot of instances where people now are like, well, I spent all my time doing this. And do I even really want to be a lawyer? And you know, you get into your midlife and you start thinking about, well, I can't drop this now, or you feel stuck in your career and your worth becomes attached to what other people
perceive. Yeah,
whether that's your appearance, whether you were always the beautiful child or the fair child, or whether it's your weight, you know, she was always so thin and she's so slim and she looks so good, or whether it's your career, it's all of these harmless but harmful comments.
Yes, exactly. There's the other thing too is, just because you're skinny doesn't mean you're healthy. Like you had said, right? Like you were saying that when you were really thin, you were almost obsessed with like counting your calories. And, you know, on the outside, you know, may have looked great, but you didn't feel so great inside, right?
Yeah.
I get this comment too, like, well, you could probably eat whatever you want. You're not big. But it's like, no, you know, like, how do you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I see this in our elderly people in the community too, is because they have been told and they've grown up in this culture where being thin is better than being bigger sized.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily focus on how to be thin in a healthy way themselves.
Yeah.
So they might be eating lots of oily foods, or they may be eating these things, but really reducing their calories so much instead of trying to create better muscle tone. And in our community, in the South Asian community, like, you know, we struggle with heart problems. We struggle with blood pressure. We struggle with all of these things.
Yeah.
But they're not really taking the steps. You need a certain amount of calories for your heart to function, for you to be healthy. And instead of like eating well and then doing weightlifting, they're just like calorie counting and, you know, oh, but I don't, I only eat very less. I don't eat rice. I don't eat this and that. And then just trying to focus on their looks. And it's really bad for us as
as
a culture.
You're right, because you have to really nourish your body.
Yes, exactly.
And actually, a lot of people will tell you that you have to eat more to actually lose weight, you know? Right.
Yeah. Some people are eating too little.
They are. And that's the reason they're gaining weight.
They're stuck. Yeah.
And it's hard for people to understand that concept. But when you're eating very little, your body is thinking that you're in famine mode.
Right.
Who knows when you're going to get the next meal, the next set of calories. So your body's going to hold on to everything.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It's going to literally just hold on to everything. So you may be eating very little, but your body is not letting that go. Whereas like when you eat more, and and of course by more, I mean like more of the good foods. I don't mean like eat junk and whatnot, but you're eating like, you know, foods that are good for you. You're eating more. Then what that's doing is that's actually telling your body there's a steady supply coming. I don't have to hold on to this. I can let it go.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that concept. And I think it's difficult for people to get that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're right. Like when you say there's a way to go about it, it's not just like cutting calories, losing the weight, and you're doing it in an unhealthy way, you know? So here's another big one. Questions about when you're going to have kids.
Yes.
I know I got that a lot. I told you my story.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious, did you get those questions at all?
Not right after getting married, but people would definitely say, they would ask, are you thinking about it? And I would kind of respond with, oh, not right now. You know, we just got married, like trying to kind of like push it off. But I find it such a strange question to ask, because how does anybody know if they can or can't, right?
Yeah.
It's a very strange assumption that people even want to have kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think that's a difficult one for people to wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
You know?
In our community.
Yes.
For
in our community. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. I think they think something is wrong with you if you don't want to have kids.
Yeah.
And I think it depends on the person, right? I mean, I know I always wanted kids.
Yeah.
But if it's someone who doesn't want to have kids, then that's her prerogative.
Yeah. I also always wanted kids, but I didn't feel like it was something I could just say to people like, oh yeah, we're going to try. Yeah, we're going to try and we're going to have one. How am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
How can I say like, yeah, well, we're going to have one next year? I don't know. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's kind of a personal question, right?
Yeah.
You know, fine. It's one thing if someone just doesn't want to have kids, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a strong-minded person. That's someone who, despite knowing this is what the culture and what tradition wants you to do, you've decided you don't want to. So I feel like for someone like that, even fielding questions about it may not be so hurtful, right?
Right.
But for someone who's, let's say, actively trying.
Yeah.
For someone who's learned that she can't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who has had miscarriages.
Yeah.
These are things that are so personal that, you know, a person's not going to share that with you.
Yeah.
They're not going to say, by the way, I had two miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, by the way, I have a health issue and it may be risky for me to get pregnant.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's so many variables that even though it's a very harmless conversation or harmless question, it's better left unasked, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it's better to just avoid it altogether.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And I think that's like people now, they say like, oh, we can't ask anything anymore. Oh, we can't compliment anyone. We can't compliment women. We can't ask any questions. And I think we're not saying to completely restrict yourself, or we're saying to change the focus of where your questions go.
Instead yes.
of speaking about yeah. someone's appearance, or speaking about their skin tone or their weight, or asking them their family planning questions. So, Jyoti, yeah. what could we say instead?
I would say, instead of saying, "Oh, you've lost weight," I would say, "Oh my gosh, you have such a beautiful smile. It yeah. really lights up the room."
Right. Or you seem so happy, like you have such a glow about you. You know, how yeah. are things going in your life? And leaving yeah. it open-ended so that they could say, "Oh, thank you. I've been going for more walks, or I've been working on my mental health, or I've been," you know, and it leaves it open for someone to answer back how they're actually doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because like you said, like, "Oh, you've lost weight." You might be thinking you're giving a positive compliment, but they could have been trying to do something or having a health issue, or
yeah.
we really just don't know what people are going through. And I think these comments, whether they're saying it in a harmless way, but we just don't know what people are going through, and it can really impact them. And especially when you're saying it to children,
yeah,
you know, like, "Oh, you've gotten so tanned because you were playing outside for too long."
Yeah.
Well, maybe they were, you know, learning a new sport and yeah. having a great time at soccer. And now they're just worried about the fact that they have a tan. And as a kid, yeah. you're worried about what that means. Like,
yeah. I mean, I say it to my kids, actually, because my kids got very tanned this summer. And I was like, "You know what, guys?" I was like, "You guys got so tanned. That means you had a great summer." You
there
know?
You go. Like, we need to change the narrative.
Yeah. yeah. Instead of like, "Oh my gosh, look at you. You guys are yeah. so dark," or something. Yeah. It was just, to me, it was like, "This is so cute." You know, like that's kind of how I would word it. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's not about being restricted and really having to watch what you're saying. I think it's like retraining your mind and really yeah. focusing on asking questions that are having more to do with how the person actually is.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what the focus needs to shift to. So I think in just sort of talking about this, I'm hoping that we've kind of raised some awareness about this, so that yeah. when, you know, people are out and about having conversations, perhaps someone will just say, "Oh my gosh, I love that you came up with this creative solution for something." Yeah. Or, "Look at how artistic you are. Look at how beautiful, like, your house is." Or, mm-hmm. you know, like, just kind of focusing on what that person is doing, as opposed to, "You look this way," or "You've gained weight," or "You've lost weight."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Changing the focus and really realizing the pattern in yourself as well, because yeah. I think we do default to comments about people's appearance often and without even realizing it. And we don't know how that impacts the other person. And if we could just shift to asking how they're doing, how they're feeling, or commenting on their personality, that will make such a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the golden biscuit for today is, when you're about to say, "Oh, you've gained a little bit of weight, haven't you?" Let's pause. Let's hit the pause button and let's come up with something else to say. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Just take that little pause. And I hope that in sharing our stories, because clearly, like, both of us have had these comments made about our appearance. We've both, you know, been many different sizes. We've both, like, yeah. had...
Well, unconventional
kids,
jobs.
Unconventional jobs. We've had different yeah. career choices. I married later in life than maybe people would have expected. Mm-hmm. So all of these comments about, you know, "When are you going to get married?" or "What job are you doing?" They do impact someone. And people are really, we're all living this life for the first time. So we think, and we're all just trying to figure it out and be ourselves. And we need to be kinder to each other and let people find their own way. Because yeah. that's what they're trying to do.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to rue. We appreciate you joining us as we cultivate a community of strong, empowered women, one story at a time. If you or someone you know has a story you'd like to share, please contact us at ruedaraz@gmail.com. That's ruedaraz@gmail.com. Also, do us a favor and please share this podcast with your sisters, your mom, your friends, aunties, your eyebrow lady, like any lady you know. You know, you get the idea. Till next time, kush raho, be well.